This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Robert Ginsburg, host of Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 until midnight on 91.3 FM KUAF. He's the curator for the KUAF Summer Jazz Festival. He is the founder of the Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society. What have I left out there, Robert?
That's quite enough. Thank you, Kyle.
And we have you in here to talk about some of your favorite music from 2016.
Yes. We do this just about every year, and it's always fun to look back. And we were just discussing the fact that I felt obliged to at least look at some of the top 10 lists that are online and posted by other critics and so forth. And I realized that I hardly have anything on here that appeared on anybody's top 10 list. It's kind of an oddball list in some ways. There's one sort of mainstream edition here, but this first one might be the only exception to that, and it's John Beasley, who is a remarkable pianist, arranger, producer. He's out on the West Coast. He's worked with a myriad of the West Coast jazz people. He put together a project called Monkestra, and it's a tribute to the music of Thelonious Monk with a big band. He did all the arrangements. It's not all original Monk tunes, but the real meat of it is, and it's getting rave reviews, and it's a brilliant outing. He's taking this on tour, and maybe we'll get lucky, and it'll show up in town at some point. But the recording features an all-star group, and in fact, on this track, we'll hear the soloist is just some sort of unknown vibraphonist named Gary Burton. And the band is filled with those kind of all-star people. But really behind it all is this vision that John Beasley had to reimagine the music of Thelonious Monk. So Monk, you know, was born in October of 1917. Hmm. His 100th birthday would be coming up next year, and it's a very timely release. I'm sure John thought about that as well, but this is Epistrophe.
There's on the cover of the CD, there's a very small word, couple of words that say volume one, which would indicate that this is not a one-shot, perhaps.
I hope not.
Now, will this all-star lineup be the touring lineup as well, or?
It's interesting. I talked to John because I'm trying to figure out a way to get him to town, and he actually has several incarnations of this band, and depending on the presenting agency's budget, he can do the big band with all these guys. That's the top tier. He can use some section players that are local, and he even has a nine-piece incarnation of this group, too. So it's pretty flexible.
John Beasley, Monkestra, Volume 1. All right. What do you have next?
Well, this is so in the pocket and so delightful, and it's really evocative of the whole of what the title says. Harlem on My Mind, and the woman who's presenting this music is Catherine Russell, who is just an extraordinary vocalist. She happens to be the daughter of a man who was Louis Armstrong's musical director. She appeared at the Walton Arts Center in 2014, and she grew up in a house filled with music, as you can imagine. Can you imagine?
No, I can't actually imagine.
Who would be hanging out at the home of Louis Armstrong's musical director?
Everybody.
Right, exactly. And her mother was an accomplished vocalist who performed with the International Sweethearts of Rhythm during World War II. So Right now, Catherine's on tour with Wynton Marsalis and Lincoln Jazz Orchestra. She's got it all. And this CD, Harlem on My Mind, is it's right in the pocket. It's just and her voice to me just evokes that whole vibe, New York, Harlem, without being retro. Really, mm-hmm. It still is fresh and modern to me. She's covering a lot of standards. You know, The Very Thought of You, Don't Take Your Love from Me. Those tunes have been covered and covered. So when someone can bring a fresh voice to these tried and true standards, it's really refreshing. And that's what she does on this tune, You're My Thrill.
Catherine Russell, Harlem on My Mind. You still buy CDs, too. I like that.
I do. I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's a dying breed.
I wonder, you may not know the answer to this at all, but whether jazz has had as much buy-in to digital download as other forms of music. I know that Katie Hendrickson tells me classical music hasn't yet. They still rely on CD sales a lot.
I think you're right there, and I think that probably jazz and classical music are like two of the last holdouts. But we know that the tide has shifted, and the other side of that, Kyle, is that what I listen to a lot of music that's not on CDs, but that's like for research. Mm-hmm. When I'm listening for pleasure, I'm usually pulling out CDs. Because I still like to look at I like to read the
notes. Yes.
All of that experience. But the other part of this that's really compelling to me is, as I thought about what do I bring into you for this show, for this look back onto 2016, I realize now that the entire world of music is at our fingertips, I mean, between YouTube and Spotify and Pandora and all of this stuff, it's the playing field is just so vast. There's so much more. There's, you know, Brazilian jazz and Syrian music. And
right.
It's all there. You can access it. So obviously, we have to narrow our focus at times we can only take in so much. And that kind of informed this selection. These are not, you know, this is, as I mentioned, this is not, some of this stuff is a little bit more obscure. And this particular CD falls into that. I think it's Ari Honig, The Pauper and the Magician. And it's very thematic. It's kind of a tone poem in a way, or a fantasy inspired this music. And each track in the liner notes has a brief sort of cryptic description of what the song is about, and it all is part of this story. But it's interesting. It kind of paints this like Mussorgsky's, you know, pictures in an exhibition sort of concept.
He's a drummer.
He is a drummer. It's a drummer-led group, and it's a great band. It's on AHA Records. I love that. And this is an extended piece. It's like a 12-minute piece called The Other. Thank you.
Ari Honing.
Yes, or Ari. He's originally from, I want to say Philadelphia. I'm not... Yeah, I think he started out in Philly. He's now living in New York City and expanding the envelope, as it were.
The Pauper and the Magician. Now, your next choice really veers away from this. This shows what, when we use that umbrella title of jazz, that there's a lot that's covered under that title.
It truly. And Corey Christiansen is a guitarist of note. He's in the upper echelon of, I think Corey's maybe approaching 50, mid-40s to 50, very accomplished, virtuoso, but he's really come into his own as a composer as well and a band leader, and he's also deeply involved in education. Corey's a brilliant music instructor. He released this CD on Origin Records, and it's new to 2016, and it's called Factory Girl. Don't ask me, I have no idea. But, you know, in terms of the departure that you alluded to, it's really a departure in that it's this CD, the music is really like a collection of American folk and frontier songs and some originals that fall into that bag as well. So, and very strong blues. I mean, the blues are just imbue his music. But it's interpreted by this jazz virtuoso. And there's really two tracks on here we need just to juxtapose.
Okay.
We need to at least get a taste of. The first one is this interesting take on the classic Shenandoah. So undoubtedly, you hear the tune and you know what it is, but there's something just a bit askew there, and that's the jazz sensibility coming into play. So the other tune I'd like to play is one of his originals, and it's just, you'll hear the blues, you'll hear the folk and Americana sort of influence, but undoubtedly you'll hear the jazz as well. This is one word, Beour, B-E-O-U-R. I have no idea what it means, but... Here's Corey Christiansen.
This kind of reminds me in concept, and now I'm drawing a blank on the artist's name.
Bill Frisell.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly who I was thinking of. Yeah. When I heard Shenandoah, because that's the sort of thing that Bill Frisell has done, and I'm thinking of Disc Farmer, that disc he did a few years ago. And then he did one of Standards, I think, in 2013 or 14.
Right.
And you hear, when you think of Bill Frisell, and when he does something like When You Wish Upon a Star, and you hear it, and then it goes somewhere else, though it never truly leaves the origin material.
It's in a subtle way, it's compelling and disturbing mm-hmm. at the same time. It's like, and you kind of hear that hinted in the Shenandoah thing. It's because it's like, I've never heard it harmonized quite like that. And it, but it's, you know, you develop a taste for that kind of thing and you can't get it off.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to have to check back into more of what he's done.
Kyle, you'll dig this.
Okay.
Guy. You'll dig this CD.
So if you like Bill Frisell.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Bill is one of those artists who has defied categorization. Mm-hmm. I mean, he falls into the jazz bucket because they don't know where else to put him.
I kind of think of him like Charlie Hayden, too, sometimes.
To some extent. I think because they did perform together
right.
quite a bit. Charlie, you know, having come up with Ornette Coleman mm-hmm. and Keith Jarrett and all that, established himself more in the mainstream. But and Frisell has done that sort of, he's recorded with those kind of people, but he's always had this Americana sort of
right.
folksy, mm-hmm. Psychedelic edge.
Yeah, exactly.
If any of that, you know, if you can figure out how to put those things together.
And you have another selection here.
Yeah, this is kind of my tip of the hat to any opportunity that we have to revisit the music of Miles Davis and that classic quintet with Wayne Shorter. And so many people know that the movie came out Miles Ahead, starring Don Cheadle, and hopefully some people saw it. But I will be candid with you. I really didn't care for the movie that much. It was just an action thriller that was kind of – I was looking for something that was more
– biographical?
Perhaps. Or at least something that depicted what to me would be a more – compelling element of Miles' history. This is like the gangster period, you know, and I think a lot of it was made. I know a lot of it was made up, and a lot of it struck me as sensational just in terms of the movie. Cheadle, on the other hand, if you've seen the movie, and if you read the reviews, and Herbie Hancock talking about being off stage and seeing Cheadle and just how he was standing when he wasn't even acting, it was like this cat was channeling Miles Davis. He sounded exactly like, I mean, he became Miles Davis. And you see that in the movie, and that's pretty remarkable.
Isn't it, though, kind of in the spirit of Miles Davis to not give you exactly what you want?
Well, yeah, you're right.
You're not trying to make excuses for the movie.
You're right, Miles. And I mean, Miles. Kyle, excuse me. Look at you got me calling you Miles. No, you're right. And it was just, you know, I think the movie's worth seeing for sure. And Robert Glasper did an amazing soundtrack. A lot of the music on here is really Miles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's archival stuff. But Robert Glasper helped conceive how this was all going to be arranged. And there's an amazing group of performers that he put together to create the original tune. So I actually, you know, I preface this by saying any opportunity to revisit the music of Miles is worth taking, even if it's a movie that I'm not that crazy
sure.
about. After saying that, the track that I've chosen was the one that Glasper composed and put musicians together to perform. It includes some of Miles' people, Herbie Hancock's on it. But I think that it's worth visiting because of the way it evokes the spirit of Miles and how you hear it's not Miles, but it could almost be. So this track is from the movie Miles Ahead. What's wrong with that?
That's from the soundtrack of Miles Ahead, one of the CDs that Robert has brought in, Robert Ginsberg, helping us look back at 2015, the year, or 2016, good grief, the year in jazz. Others that you didn't bring in that we should know about?
There's one in particular, and I've just fallen in love with this guitarist over the last 5 or 6 years. He's Austrian. His name is Wolfgang Muthspiel. And he's another one of these guys who plays really right in the pocket. He plays avant-garde stuff. He's recorded with Becca Stevens, coming with some of this kind of folksy stuff. He's got a great voice. He writes these gorgeous tunes, to be sung. And there's a myriad of his stuff on YouTube if you're interested, Wolfgang Muthspiel. However, he has a new recording that's truly remarkable that was released in 2016. It's called Rising Grace. So you have this superstar of guitar, Wolfgang, along with Brad Meldow, Larry Grenadier, Brian Blade, and Ambrose Akinmusari. So those are all guys. I mean, Brad Meldow's trio basically is part of this, who's, you know, one of the most respected young jazz pianists and composers. Brian Blade is a drumming phenomena in the world of jazz, and Ambrose Akinmusari is this young trumpeter who's taken the jazz world by storm. So he put this group together, and conceptually, it's very compelling. There's some EPKs on YouTube that are worth watching. They talk about how they had tunes, but basically they did not follow this typical pattern of you play the head, everybody takes a solo. There was not really a plan. They let each tune evolve, and they trusted in each other's intuition, which is, you know, a huge part of improvisation, which is the backbone of jazz. So it's a great recording. Wolfgang Muthspiel, Rising Grace.
So many of the folks you've mentioned in this visit, you know, you've said they'll do this, then they'll do that, and they'll experiment over here. And I'm just wondering if in this era now of no big labels, right? You used to be signed to maybe Columbia or Blue Note. And you would have studio executives that say, no, you can't do that because we've got to sell records. And I wonder if one of the benefits from that sort of dissolving is that artists can just kind of do what they want as long as they can find some label, maybe even a self-financed label, they can record what they want.
Kyle, you have hit the bullseye. That paradigm shift, I think, single-handedly, along with the technological access that everybody has to music, has pushed all forms of music into, I mean, look what's happened to country music. Whether you like it or not, it's going and play. So I think that that's absolutely true. And the ability to independently produce and so forth. But it's also this kind of shrinking world phenomena. I think that informs that as well. So yeah, you're right on. Another pick I had, and I don't know, maybe I felt obliged to at least look back, especially since Sonny Rollins is no longer touring. He's hanging in there, but he has lung issues, breathing issues. But he still has, he's been recording all of his shows for the last, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, and has released several volumes just called Road Shows. There's volume 4 came out in 2016. It's called Holding the Stage, Sonny Rollins. Again, any opportunity to go back and visit these masters is worth taking. So that's a pick. I realized also that I'm a huge Latin jazz fan, and I didn't come up with anything that we played. But one of the picks I would have is a wonderful multi-reed player named Jane Bunnett, who lives in Canada, but she spends half of her life in Cuba. And she has a new CD out called Makeke, and it's wonderful. That's Jane Bunnett. And one other cat who I really love, he doesn't get the recognition he deserves, and his name is Orrin Evans, pianist and composer, and he has a new CD out called Knowing is Half the Battle. One other pick, Kyle, which is a reissue. These are previously unreleased recordings. There's a guy named Larry Young who was a extraordinary Hammond B3 organist who really inspired one of Miles's shifts from bebop to sort of the electric period. He's not credited with that, but Larry Young played the Hammond B3 organ in the 60s, and he was sort of an expat. He lived in Paris, and they've discovered some recordings that are heretofore unreleased, and Resonance Records has released it. It's called the ORTF recordings, Larry Young in Paris. And if you like the Hammond B3 organ, you should check this guy out.
We'll have this complete list of everything you've mentioned at ozarksatlarge.com. One last question. I used to, you know, find Downbeat on the newsstands, and that would introduce me to new stuff. If someone, granted, there's all this access, but sometimes you can have this paralysis because there's all this access. Where would you suggest folks find the people they haven't heard of, some of the people you've talked about, on their own? Do you have a source that you go to?
You know, I find that my research now is done sort of in real time listening to music. So I'll, whether it's Spotify or YouTube or wherever I go to try to dig something up, that will lead me down the trail. I'll see who's, because I don't just listen to hear it. And I mean, I want to know who's playing on it. And if there's one of those musicians who inspire me, then I will track off to follow what they're doing. So that's the beauty of Spotify. You can click on a person's name who's a side or type it in, and suddenly you're off into Caracas following some guy who's now living in New York who's playing with Herbie Hancock. I mean, you know, that right. sort of thing. But in terms of reference material, Jazz Times, and they have an online version of their magazine, is a good source. And really just, I hate to say it, but Google. Good old Google.
Good old Google.
As all my 96-year-old mother says, ask the Google.
Ask the Google. Or you can always listen to Shades of Jazz on Friday nights.
There you go.
You had a wonderful one on earlier this month. You ended the show with a woman who was singing, that song from the Willy Wonka movie, Pure Imagination.
Yes.
That was a great song.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, Kyle, KUF HD3, I've been listening. That is some wonderful programming. It's jazz around the clock, and they're doing a great job. It's not, they don't pander, and they cover a lot of ground, and it's a great listen. My only problems with any station, I want to hear, at least after every other track, who it was, who the side. But that's me.
Yeah, that's me too. All right, Robert Ginsberg, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kyle.
You can hear Robert Ginsberg and his program, Shades of Jazz, 52 times in 2017. The program airs every Friday night from 10 until midnight on 91.3 FM. Come to think of it, you can actually hear the show 104 times next year because it also has an encore broadcast on KUAF3 every Saturday from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. And by the way, the music we just heard, another one of the artists Robert mentioned in our conversation, Wolfgang Muthspiel, and the title cut from his autumn 2016 release, Rising Grace. And KUAF has another program of jazz recorded right here in Northwest Arkansas, Jazz Travels with Steve Wilkes. That's every Saturday night from 10 to midnight, and then again Sunday from 11 to 1 on KUAF3. And if you'd like to see complete schedules of all of KUAF stations, simply go to KUAF.com.